Hey everybody, this is Daniel Glass and welcome to another edition of the Drum History Minute. Today, we're going to talk about a time called the early 1950s, a time when a whole variety of musical forces were colliding to create a brand new sound. This new music swung, but it wasn't exactly swing, and it had a lot of rhythm, but it wasn't rhythm and blues. It had elements of country too, but it wasn't really any of these things. It had a life all its own. This new style of music was worshipped by a new demographic in America known as the teenager, and they decided it should be called rock and roll. So what was the song that broke rock and roll to the masses? Why, none other than Rock Around the Clock, which was originally recorded by Bill Haley and his Comets. Many people consider this song to be the first official hit of the rock and roll era, and to this day, it remains an all-time classic. Even though we associate Rock Around the Clock so much with the genre of rock, if you take a close listen to it, you'll find that this song actually sounds quite different than the rock we're used to hearing today. In fact, Rock Around the Clock is the ultimate example of how early rock and roll, rather than being a well-defined genre of its own, was more like a Frankenstein monster that mashed together a bunch of existing musical styles into a strange new hybrid. So before we go any further, let's take a quick listen to some of this rock masterpiece.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, hon. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight.
Now, one of the first things that you might notice as you listen to Rock Around the Clock is that the drummer is not playing any backbeats. In other words, you don't hear that heavy snare hit on 2 and 4 that's such a big part of today's rock drumming style. In place of a backbeat, you might have noticed a heavy rhythmic chunka-chunka-chunka-chunka kind of feel that's driving the whole groove. And finally, you might have thought to yourself, if this is supposed to be a rock tune, well, why aren't there any big tom fills or big cymbal crashes? Well, my friends, these are all very good questions, and I'm going to answer them in a roundabout way by giving you a little backstory on Bill Haley. Born and raised in rural Pennsylvania, Haley began his singing career in the late 1940s with a Western swing band called the Saddlemen. Now, in those days, country bands didn't use drummers, so the Saddlemen created rhythm in a couple of different ways. First, the bass player would often slap the strings of his upright bass in time to the music. Chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk. And Haley would strum his acoustic guitar very forcefully to give it the same effect.
We're gonna rock. Rock this joint, we're gonna rock.
Now, even though he was a country singer, Haley was also a fan of rhythm and blues, which was a black style of music that was just starting to cross over to white audiences. And every time that Haley would throw an R&B cover into his band's set, he would get a killer reaction from the crowd. So, long about 1952, Haley decided to make some big changes. He kept the sound of the slap bass and the chunky rhythm guitar, but he also added a honking saxophone and a more jazzy electric guitar, which gave his combo kind of more of an R&B feel. Haley also changed the name of the band from the Saddlemen to the Comets, turning in the cowboy hats for matching plaid tuxedos, which was also an R&B trademark. Most importantly, Haley started using a drummer on his recording sessions, and the guy that he used was a veteran swing player from New York City named Billy Gussick. Remember, at this time in history, there was no such thing as a rock drummer. All of the pioneers of the rock style were jazz guys who were basically creating it as they went along. Gussick was one of those guys, and if you analyze his drumming on Rock Around the Clock, you'll find that it's a lot closer to swing than it is to the rock that we know today. Now, with all this in mind, let's listen to another section of Rock Around the Clock, and this time, keep your ears open for the slap bass, because that's really what's driving this groove. Also, note the very jazzy guitar solo, and of course, those cool swing-style bombs that Billy Gussick keeps dropping on us at the end of just about every phrase. Now, as I mentioned earlier, you don't really hear Gussick playing consistent backbeats throughout the tune. Rather, he's keeping a solid swing feel kind of going on the hi-hat. And you'll notice that all of Gussick's cymbal crashes are played on a tiny splash cymbal, which we wouldn't consider very rock and roll today. But that's because in 1954, drummers didn't have big crashes the way they do today. And finally, check out Gussick's fills. They have this over-the-bar line feel to them that ends on beat 4, as opposed to a big tom-tom run that ends on beat 1. So check this out. If a modern drum fill goes like this, a Billy Gussick fill would have more of a swing orientation, kind of like this. So you see how the fill ends on beat 4 as opposed to the following beat 1. Now, for whatever reason, the Comet's crazy combination of country, swing jazz, and R&B, Haley actually called it cowboy jive, well, this really hit the spot with teens who were looking for a band that they could identify as their own. And even though Haley lacked the matinee, idol looks, and the bad boy image of later rock stars, the Comet's solid swing and groove and high-energy stage show really set the pace for what we would come to expect out of our rock and roll bands. With the success of Rock Around the Clock, Haley became an international superstar, and he was truly the king of rock and roll until the much prettier and more marketable Elvis Presley snatched the title away from him a couple of years later. As for Rock Around the Clock, it became the first official rock and roll song to hit number one on the pop charts, and it stayed there for 8 solid weeks. When the song was featured in the 1955 film The Blackboard Jungle, teenagers sat in theaters all day just so that they could dance during the opening credits. Now that's rock and roll. To hear other Drum History Minutes and to learn much more about the history of the drumming art form, please check out my website, www.danielglass.com. That's DanielGlass.com. Thanks a lot, and keep a rockin'.